The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Well, we just did the Parinirvana ceremony, which some of us have attended many times, and others for the first time. And for some of us, it's our favorite ceremony because it so clearly demonstrates how we practice faith in both darkness and light, when things are going well, when things are going badly, when we're sick, when we're well, when we're in pain, when we're not, you know. And whether the Buddha is seen in the world or not, whether we can see the light, as it were, of Buddha, or whether we just feel like we're in darkness, we can still continue. We recite the scripture of great wisdom, which is like the essence of our teaching, over and over until the light comes back. It's really beautiful. The Buddha's Parinirvana is a very solemn ceremony. And there's something about those last words, you know, be a lamp unto yourself. Whoa, you know, think these people are thinking, boy, this is it, he's going, you know. And for you who don't know the story of his death, he was old, he was 80 years old, he's getting old and sick. He says, this body is like an old cart, just held together with sort of string and glue, you know, sort of getting along, but in pain. I'm only time he's out of pain is when he's in deep meditation. All the rest of the time, he has pain, just like the rest of us. And according to the scriptures, he went to somebody's house for a meal, and the person inadvertently served him bad food, and he got terribly sick. And he thought, this is it, you know. And he walks, even though he's really sick, he walks back to Kushinagara. It's a small town, but he goes there along with his attendant, Ananda. And then when he gets to Kushinagara, there's adventures on the way, but I won't go into those. But he lies down between the twin sala trees and gets ready to die, you know. And he answers all kinds of questions. They ask him all sorts of questions. They see he's getting ready to leave them. So they think, they say, who's going to lead the community when you're gone? Good question. And he said, not a person, but let the Dharma and the rules of training, let them be your guide. He doesn't want to set up a successor. He just says, let the Dharma be your teacher. How do we treat your remains? What do we do with your body when you die? How do you deal with a Buddha's body? And he gives them all kinds of detailed explanation, very patiently. And then somebody wants to come and be a monk. And Ananda, his attendant, says, this is not the time. You know, he's feeling really tired. He's dying, you know, maybe later with the rest of us. But the Buddha says, no, let him come. And Subhadra comes, and the Buddha has a sort of talk with him, actually, and gives him the ordination as a monk. And apparently Subhadra became an arahant very shortly thereafter. He was ready to be a monk. Then the Buddha makes sure that all the townspeople can come. He says, go tell the townspeople that I'm dying, so they can come and see me for the last time if they want to. It's really kind, you know. The devas, all the invisible beings, want to see him. And he says, you know, make way for them. Don't stand right in front of me. Let them see me too. So he tries to include everybody, all these people who want to come and see the Buddha, not as a great big me thing, but you know, you don't get a Buddha that often. And to be able to come and see him before he dies was his great kindness. And the person who gave him the meal, Kanda, the blacksmith, I think he was, he had made this meal for the Buddha that made the Buddha really sick. And he probably felt really bad. I mean, you don't feel, you know, you make a meal for the Buddha and he gets really sick and dies. You know, it could be a pretty heavy burden. And the Buddha says, tell Kanda not to worry. There are two kinds of really blessed offering. One is the offering made when a Buddha is about to realize enlightenment. and the other when he's about to enter parinirvana. It's actually a blessing. So Kunda could be at ease and not worry, I've killed the Buddha, you know. He could actually be all right with it. And that's such a kindness. Here's the Buddha probably feeling terrible physically, but able to think of these things, helping someone become a monk, putting somebody's mind at ease. And all these other matters he's asked about, what about this, what about that? He deals with all of them. He doesn't say, heaven's sake, you know. He just deals with everything he's asked. And then Ananda goes away and weeps. He just feels really sad. He's not an arahant. I don't think he's even a stream entrant. He's taken care of the Buddha for 25 years. He's, faithfully attended him, but he isn't enlightened. And here's the Buddha, his dear friend and cousin, actually, about to die. And he just goes away and cries, goes into some house, leans against the doorway and cries. And the Buddha says, where's Ananda? And they tell him he's off crying. They said, go get him, bring him here. And they bring Ananda, and Ananda comes, and the Buddha says, Ananda, you've been really faithful. You know, haven't I always told you that anything that's born has to die? I have to die. And this is how it is. You can't keep hold of anything or anybody. Everything that is born will eventually die. And now it's the time, you know. And you've been really faithful. And he tells all the other people, Ananda has been really good as an attendant. He's been faithful. He's helped me steadfastly all these years. He's wise. He knows when to bring people in and when not. And he's a real treasure. So, you know, so Ananda can feel comforted. It's so kind to do that. And right at the end, he asks, three times, is there anybody who has any questions or doubts about my teaching? Silence. He asks us three times, you know, now's the time to ask. I'm going to be gone. You don't want to be thinking later, why didn't I ask him when I had the chance? So he gives him this last chance right before he dies, three times. And nobody asks anything because they have all their true faith. He says they're all arahants. They're all stream entrants, not all arahants. They're all stream entrants, except maybe Ananda, I don't know. Or they're all well on the way of training, so they don't have to worry. They're all firmly on the path, and they're not going to regress. There's such kindness and patience in all of this. And in the Pali Canon, which is kind of dry in places, you can see this humanity and kindness coming through in these little stories, you know, about how patient he is and how he thinks of people and how kind, right up to the very end. And his last words, after all this, he says, indeed, monks, I declare this to you, like, hear this. It is in the nature of all formations to dissolve, attain perfection through diligence. I.e., everything that is born has to die. Nothing remains forever. Everything must come to an end. We will all die. Everything changes. Get going, you know. Keep on the way. Train steadfastly. Train hard. Don't waste time. And realize the truth by diligence, by your own efforts. And then he withdraws into meditation and finally passes away. He just kind of takes that last bit of time to do what he needs to do for himself. And this chant that we sing today when we process in and out, quickly, quickly seek your liberation, be a lamp unto yourself. Always seek to get back on the path. It's like a kind of slightly different rendition of those last words. It's taken from the scripture of the Buddha's last teachings, which is an ancient scripture of the Mahayana that we actually read the evening before Parinirvana. So we read it last night and also a couple of weeks ago. And it's really beautiful. It has all these instructions, all this help, all this advice about contentment, about dealing with anger, about all kinds of things, about monastic life and, you know, regular training. Really, really helpful. And in this scripture, there's a little paragraph at the end. His last words are put like this. I can find it. This is from the scripture of the Buddha's last teachings. O you monks, with wholehearted devotion, always seek to get back on the path. What that is mutable or immutable in all worlds defeats and destroys the signs of uncertainty. Bring them to a halt, i.e. everything changes and passes away. Do not ask me to say more, for the time is nigh when I would pass, and I wish for my parinirvana. These are my last teachings and instructions. And you get this kind of gulp. Here it is, you know, is going and it's up to us. And in our ceremony, you really get that sense of it's up to us. You know, the light, the comforting light of Buddha appears to disappear, and we just keep going, we keep practicing faith, we keep reciting our scripture, and then we bring the light back. It's our faith and training that brings back the light of Buddha, which has never gone. It's just been less easy to see. Quickly seek your liberation. Be a lamp unto yourself. This doesn't mean we train all by ourselves. You know, be a lamp unto yourself, my own little light, my own little thing. The light shines everywhere. You don't keep your little lamp to yourself. It shines and helps other beings too. And it doesn't mean we don't ask anyone else for advice and help. Be a lamp unto yourself. You know, we ask other people for help, or they'll give us help when we need it. But it does mean each of us has to make our own effort. It's up to us. We help each other. We train together. We do our ceremony together. And yet, when it comes to it, each of us has to make our own effort. Nobody else can do it for us. They can help us, but it's up to us to want to do it, and then to do it. As I said in the ceremony, the light of Buddha seems to be gone. We can't see it, but it's still burning. A little candle in the founder's shrine. And it's up to us to bring it back by doing our training faithfully, in light and in dark, up and down. And then the light brightens and helps us, and helps other beings too. You know, we all share the light together. It's for all of us. Be a lamp unto yourself and unto other beings as well. It's not just for me. And the other bit, always seek to get back on the path. I really like that. Keep seeking to get back on the path. It's understood that we fall off. You were just here, you know, work out your own salvation with diligence. You sort of think, whoa, this is for arahant. It's not for me. You feel kind of, you know. But seek to get back on the path. I can relate to that. Because we constantly fall off. We constantly break the precepts in, you know, big ways or little ways. If you look carefully, these little crabby thoughts or these little meannesses or these little not quite truenesses. You know, it happens constantly. However diligent we may be, we don't keep to the precepts perfectly because we're human beings. We make mistakes. And the Buddha knows this. Always seek to get back on the path. Don't give up. The important thing is that we seek to get back. We don't give up. We don't think, oh, I can't do this, I'm not worthy, I've been too bad, what I did is so awful, or what path, I've lost it. You know, we know it's there. We can always come back. No matter what happens, no matter what mistake we may have made, no matter what we may think of ourselves, whether we think we're worthy or unworthy, no matter what we may feel, we can always get back on the path. All we need to do is to look honestly at what we are doing, where we've made a mistake, where we could do better, to look at it clearly, and seek to get back on the path. In this, there's another little bit in the scripture of the Buddha's last teachings where he talks about modesty. Now, modesty sounds like a really old-fashioned word, you know, but the way he means it, it is to lack true modesty is to lack awareness of our susceptibilities and remorse for our shortcomings. So awareness of our susceptibilities, awareness of our weaknesses, our weak spots, the things where we tend to fall off the path, and remorse for our shortcomings, remorse for our mistakes, and the things that we find so hard. to be aware of them and to have remorse for them. It's not guilt, oh my God, I'm so bad, or hopelessness or despair. It's just, oh, I did it again. I seek to get back on the path. I'm really sorry. I will try and do better. This happens constantly as we try to keep to the precepts. We see these little breakages, these little things we could have done better, the little meannesses of mind or whatever, speech, you know, the little crabbinesses or judgments or criticisms or however it may be, our little greeds and grabbings, all those little things that we have, to see them, awareness of our susceptibilities and remorse for our shortcomings. That's what he calls modesty. And that is how we seek to get back on the path. Never giving up, never saying, I can't do this, I'm not good enough, it's too hard. We can get back on the path. It's not way up there. You just get back on the path by seeing where we made a mistake and having remorse for it, you know. And that really helps. It kind of eases the heart. It takes away the bitterness. You can learn a lot from cats. I've been trying to give pills to this cat. And what I've been told is, wrap it in butter. Now, this works better than it might, but the cat, of course, likes to lick off the butter and spit out the pill, and he's getting quite good at it. And then you had to put it in two or three times. It sticks to your fingers and falls on the carpet. It seemed to take it, and he'll spit it out. And I said to him this morning, looked him in the eye, and I said, if you want the butter, you have to take the pill. And it's the same for us. If we want the butter, we have to take the pill. We have to see clearly those little mistakes, the shortcomings, just a bit of pill sometimes. My little selfishness is, it's not, I don't like it, you know. I'd rather have the butter. But you've got the pill. And the pill actually is the medicine that cures our suffering. He doesn't know that he's getting better because he's taking this little pill. He thinks it's the butter. Well, maybe he doesn't associate it at all. But if we want the butter, we have to take the pill. We have to be able to see, or be willing, rather, to see our mistakes, our shortcomings, the little meannesses, the little things we'd rather not look at. Look them right in the eye. And then we can get it down, and it's not so bitter. And the butter is the ease of heart that comes as a result of that. When you look clearly and say, okay, that was mean, that was stupid, that was selfish, or whatever it might have been. Not a lot of judgment there, oh, I'm such a bad person, but I did a dumb act. I did an unkind act. It doesn't mean I'm an unkind person. I did an unkind thing. There's a difference. If I got angry, it doesn't mean I'm an angry person, but I allowed anger to arise and get the better of me, and maybe I bit somebody, and I'm really sorry, and I can go and apologize. But to be able to see that mistake, not to judge myself and eat a whole bottle of pills, but to see that mistake and not to say, therefore I'm an evil person, therefore I can't do it, therefore I'm bad, but I did that thing, I'm sorry. Then it feels better. There's that lovely confession verse, and asking for the help of the Buddhas and ancestors, say we're really sorry for our mistakes. True contrition before the Buddhas brings purification and salvation. True conviction and earnest endeavor helps us to clean the slate, get back on the path, and ease the heart, because all of us make mistakes. All of us have selfishness arise. And in fact, one of the last things the Buddha talks about is dealing with the self. Let me find it in this very scripture. Right at the end, before he has his last thing, he says, you should strive to rid yourself of what I call the embodied self, as though it was something foul that was polluting you. It doesn't mean we're foul and awful, but it's this sense of a self is what drags us down. And you know, and this is why we do dumb things, because we're thinking just of ourself and not of others. It is this illusory self which will sink down into the great ocean of birth, old age, disease, and death. To get rid of it is like recovering from a bad illness. Doesn't mean the self is gone, but our clinging to the self as we train diminishes. And eventually, if we're arahants, it will be gone. I'm not there yet, and I think most of us are not quite there yet. However, we're on the path. We can keep seeking to get back on the path to work on that illusory self, which is the cause of our doing unkind, unwise, selfish things. Anyway, that's enough of that. And there's a kindness and a humanity in this. Always seek to get back on the path. You know, knowing that we make mistakes, knowing that we can get discouraged. Here's the Buddha about to die, and he's encouraging his monks and his lay trainees to. It's all right. Everything has to die. Everybody has to die. And this is quite normal. Just keep going. Always seek to get back on the path. Allow that light of Buddha to shine in your heart as you keep on doing your training, just to keep doing it over and over. Doing it together is wonderful. Sometimes we're on our own. Just keep that little light burning. Don't give up. Never give up is what it comes down to. No matter what we've done or how dark things may appear to be. And in the world at the present time, it can seem pretty dark. There's wars, there's famine, there's climate change, there's massive poverty, there's seemingly increasing differences between the rich people and the poor people. But it's always been like this, actually. Things go up and down. Sometimes it seems better, sometimes it seems harder, depending where you are. There's always been wars and famine and unkindness and unfairness and all that. The light of Buddha is always here, no matter what. We just need to trust it, no matter how dark things may appear, whether in our own life or in the bigger world, to trust that light of Buddha that shines in all beings, actually. But we can make it shine brighter and trust it and live from it and encourage it to grow and help it to spread out by keeping to the precepts, practicing kindness and patience. And it may be that the Buddha's great last teaching was not just those words, you know. It's the nature of all formations to dissolve and attain perfection through diligence. Or even seeking to get back on the path. But his very example of kindness and patience, right up to the last minute, he is kindly thinking of his trainees, his monks and his lay people, giving him his teaching right to his last, right to the very last. Maybe that, as much as anything he says, is his great last teaching to us. Just a thought. Thank you.